This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here, and join me each and every week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a live virtual job tour, a Take the Automotive Trivia Challenge, Unwrap Your Fortune of the Week, and a whole lot more. The video version of this show is on aftermarketweekly.com. Hey everybody, welcome. Carm Capriotto. It is Aftermarket Weekly Live. We do it each and every week right here. Right here at 12 noon East Coast, 12 p.m. out there on the Pacific Coast. That's second cup of coffee time. Hey, good to have you all here. I have my tie on again today in honor of my two guests. But, you know, you all know the story. Me and Tom Hammond, the first like 16 weeks, wore a tie. And people have been kidding me about that. And you know what? I just think it elevates the show another step or two by wearing a tie. Hey, you know, we have one of the most unique shows in the industry. We have a guest host that's with me. We have a fabulous shop tour, and it's kind of like almost a TV broadcast. I just love the fact that we're everywhere. We're doing things. We're talking about trends, and it's a fun show to do. We're brought to you by Dorman, and we're coming to you from the Dorman Fix Studio, offering great automotive aftermarket insights. Now, you can watch us live at remarkableresults.biz/live. We're also on YouTube and or LinkedIn. Hey, I want to introduce my guest host, Judy Haglin and Kenny Weddo. Hey, Kenny. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, everyone. You talk about fun. We're going to go out to Erie, Colorado, and see a great shop tour of a brand new place, actually, that's been remodeled and relived in. And Judy, you're not too far from Erie in your home base in Boulder.
Absolutely.
How cool is that?
It's very cool, except Kenny, I drive by your shop every day to go home. I live in Erie. So, and actually, I'm just going to share, I was on the town board and I approved the project that your building stands on.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I did.
That's good.
It is.
Thank you very much for approving that.
Absolutely. Small town. Small town. You're going to love it.
I see dinner in the works somehow. Judy's with us, and she's been always a great, great contributor to the show. In fact, she's not even home. She's on the road, and she found the time to be with us today. So, so happy. Judy, I did a podography on you. Some of the things that we've worked on together, husband and wife partners making it work. Love that one episode we did, localizing national training. And one of my most favorite ever episodes was when the leading ladies was at Apex, and I had that revelation from the sky about secret sauce. We had so much fun doing that episode 392. We talked about soft skills matters in Town Hall 133. And then you and Dana kicked it all off in our relationship in episode 211. Anything you want to find out about Judy Haglin and the show, search for Judy with an I, Haglin, on the website. Our little agenda for today, everyone, is we're going to go back to basics with Judy. She wants to talk about that. Kenny's going to give us the shop tour. We're going to open up our fortune wisdom of the week, and we're going to do trivia. Kenny, I got a picture of your place. Hopefully this does it justice, and all the great things that you did to revitalize this place that actually had sat, I think, abandoned for what? How many years?
15 years it sat abandoned.
15 years. How unbelievable. Hey, just to prove, we're in our 47th week. How many tours that we've done? Here's a little bit of an encapsulation of the shops that we've been to. Probably, what is that, a dozen or 15 shops that we've been to all over the country. Chatsworth, California, Chicago, Nevada, Truckee, California, over in Rockville, Maryland. And you can watch all of this at remarkableresults.biz/ AW for Aftermarket Weekly. So, hey, listen, if you're with us on social, we'd love to have you check in with your city, give us a like, make us a comment or two, share it, and we'll be hanging out and watching over the next 2 or 3 days in all the social media posts. So that's cool. Aftermarket Weekly is a podcast. You can find it wherever you listen to Remarkable Results Radio. It's right inside that stream. If you don't have a podcast listening app, remarkableresults.biz/app, and get yourself in the queue and be with us. I have a trivia today. I'll challenge all of your thinkings, and
I think this is a pretty easy one, actually. What do Bentley, Bugatti, Lamborghini, Audi, Ducati, and Porsche have in common?
Oh, Carm, I got to jump in on that. My technicians don't want to work on it. That's my answer.
Oh, okay. They don't want to work on them. And that's probably a very good answer. Not the one I'm looking for, though.
I'm sure it's not.
I'm sure you both know the answer. Great to have you all here again, sponsored by Dorman. Hey, we all know that fixing cars is different than how the OE builds them. Now, take fuel lines, for instance. Fuel lines run and rust along with the chassis of the vehicle by nature. Now, especially in the colder months, trucks can be exposed to snow, salt, or rain, causing failure due to the corroded fittings, deterioration in the line. Now, to help you in your wallet, Dorman Products' team of engineers have redesigned the typical fuel line. Introducing Dorman's flexible stainless steel braided fuel lines. Made from braided stainless steel over flexible PTFE tubing, this upgraded material features a corrosion-resistant design. Each fuel line is an exact fit with the dimensions of each application. Now, improved durability is the highlight of this new design. This innovation is a Dorman OE fix, which means it's something that the original manufacturer doesn't offer. These fuel lines are quality assured and backed by their team of product experts and more than a century of automotive experience. Hey, want to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour. Thank you so much, Dorman, for this. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we have a really special Carmcast in honor of Women's History Month. Judy, you're back tomorrow.
I am. I'm lucky.
You're not only lucky, I'm lucky because when I talked to your agent, I said, can I have her 2 days in a row? And your agent said, yes.
Of course.
Karen Manelis, Daniel Bowman, Judy Haglin, Dr. Laura Shawalik, and Emily Chung, all shop owners. And we're all going to have a cool little discussion tomorrow about the ladies' influence in our great automotive aftermarket. And this coming Friday, live, Town Hall Academy. Managing family business dynamics. I know these three here, they're smart, they're good. And I'll tell you, if you're in a family business, it is dynamically challenging, I may say. And we're going to talk about all that. Well, Judy, it's time for getting back to basics with you. I'd love to have you start us up a great little dialogue.
Awesome. Well, as we've gone through COVID for the last year, and now continuing on, and we kept on saying, okay, the next 6 months, we really did go back to basics. And I'm assuming most everybody did do that. They really had to go back to relationships, talking with your customers, making it all happen and making them feel special and connected. In last year, we just had a huge back to basics. We did phone calls. We ramped up our thank you phone calls. We ramped up our thank you notes, our communications. We did text blasts. We did really all of that. And we reached out to a lot of our older customers or customers that had issues and said, hey, can we help? So I'm assuming that everybody in the world out there did that same thing. And as we've moved forward this year, we've added some new things, technology items, and I'm hearing a lot of people out in the industry that are adding, whether it's digital inspections, upgrading their DVIs, incorporating new point of sale systems, changing how we're connecting with our customers. And I want to talk a little bit about that. As we went through this year, we just went through changing to a new point of sale system. And some of the things that came out just scared me a lot. And I just wanted to pass some of that wisdom or that experience on to everybody as you're going and changing into that newer technology. What does it really mean for you? And what does it mean for your customers? Most importantly, your customers. I'm going to add in that, Carm, as you did all your beginning stuff or whatever, you really embrace technology. You've got this show, then your podcast, and then you've really grown it. And I have to say, when you look at your end result, you have really benefited all of us as shop owners. You're giving us a great product versus you just going out there and putting something out there and not benefiting for all of us. So kudos to you for taking technology and leveraging it.
Thank you. Let me stop you for a moment and say, it sounds like a dichotomy. We need tech to move us forward, but we also have to slow down and go back to the basics. And I love the theory behind that, because technology isn't always the answer.
And when they sell you technology, okay, I'm going to use point of sale system or the DVI. When they sell that to you, it's easier, it's quicker, it's faster, it's more efficient for your staff. And I would agree, absolutely it is. But one of the things that I found when we switched to this new point of sale system was that I think their brains fell out a little bit of, well, we always did it this way, and now we're doing it this way, so we don't have to do the old way. And I'm thinking of some of those old ways as, like, for me, source marketing and tracking is huge. It tells me how much money I can spend on future promos and campaigns and what brings people in. Do I spend more money on Google? What's my average RO on it? They just quit doing it, even though it's in the system. And I went, whoa, let's go back to where we were. That's a basic fundamental, so to speak, for Hagelin Automotive. And it should be for everybody out there. So don't forget some of those things. The other one that I found, which was very interesting, is that it has where you can have your vendors, you have like four or five, however many you set up, and you can choose, you know, which ones to look at. So if you're looking for a water pump for a Chevy, it gives you the different vendors and what it is and their prices and everything. And I'm going, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting. What I've found out is that they just click and then go, and they're not really thinking through what are we really putting on the car and then really taking that time, because they focused on one vendor before and now we've got four to choose from. That's a paradigm shift for your shop.
Judy, I love what you said, because I've always had this question. Doesn't the owner drive the loyalty of the part, knowing that you participate in their programs, for example, and you have certain volume areas to meet? You like this quality, you like that quality. Doesn't the owner drive that decision?
Yes. They do. You still have first call. And this is a total tidbit of away from back to basics. We're finding, I don't know if everybody else is, that we're having some parts issues getting parts now because of the lag with COVID. And our general vendor, who was our first call, has not had some of the products and things that we're working on. Whereas another vendor has a different system of stocking parts. They have, in our area and region, it's very regionalized, they're having more of those parts. So we're buying more from a secondary vendor, which is like, it really is, as you say, an owner-driven thing. But it's also, there's that mix of, yeah, we want to go here on the first call because of that relationship and the programs and everything else like that. But I can't hold my shop up for 3 days or a week because they're getting out of Kansas or Texas or wherever. So there's the balance there of how do you take care of your cars and your customers.
Yeah, makes sense.
Then also, as you change systems and you change, let's say your digital inspection, and you go from paper to DVI, because a lot of people are still doing that, or you're changing to another platform of a DVI because it integrated into your shop management system, or you just want to have something better, more robust, a bigger change, you have an employee change and you change because they're familiar with it and it's a better product, it's easier, it's all those things that I talked about at the beginning. Make sure you have that, I call it muscle memory, on all of your procedures. So literally, muscle memory is, it's funny, my muscle memory and my habits in the morning are different than my husband's. I get up and brush my teeth, then I take a shower. He takes a shower, then brushes his teeth. I can't take a shower without brushing my teeth, don't know, but it's muscle memory for me. I get up, I brush my teeth, I jump in the shower. Muscle memory is you do the DVI, you take your four corners, you do this, you do, then you do, then you take your pictures and you have X amount of pictures. Don't let those SOPs change. You have to change them some, but don't change who you are and what you are to your customers is, I think, the most importantly. And when you, and I had a service writer a while ago, and actually she's the third best salesperson in Mercedes in the nation, Ashley Otto. Great gal. She would put in some procedures. I'm going, Ashley, we can't do that because it really doesn't work for the customer. We're here to serve the customer and not flip it around. So I want everybody to really look through, if I'm going to add the DVI, what does that look like? So right now in our new system, they can do the inspection. They can send it up front. They make the sub-estimates. They can send it to the customer. They can see when the customer sees it. And then the customer can actually click on all the things that they want, authorize it, send it back. Voila, we're done. It's a great selling point, right? Cuts all kinds of time. But what did we lose? What did you lose? You lost that customer relationship and that one-to-one. You lose the education on maintenance. Who's doing your maintenance? We lost that piece. And it was funny. One criteria I said is we have to get our maintenance program down to education to the customers. Get it down, muscle memory, before we even think about changing to a new management software system. We changed it over and guess what? maintenance. I went, what happened to maintenance last week? And they went, yeah.
So pay attention if you make any kind of change. And my takeaway is muscle memory comes from good standard operating procedures, because if not, you'll have, if you have five employees, you'll have five different muscle memories like you and Dana have.
Exactly. And muscle memory is, I mean, it's like checking in the car. You have to get all the data to check in the car. And if you have it down and you have it down pat, you got to learn a new routine. But it's that muscle memory of getting all the information so that when you go to order parts, you're ordering the correct brake rotors for a Tahoe that's not a police car versus a police car, which we just did.
This was great. You and I could go on for an hour on getting back to basics. But I think you drove a great topic for all of us in the industry to think about and remember that just because you make a change doesn't mean that you're going to continue along the way. You may have to rethink and reinvent. And again, I love the idea, if you've got strong operating procedures, review them before you make a change so that they carry forward. That's your point.
Exactly. Don't forget what you do and who you serve.
And thanks so much. Appreciate it. I know you're traveling and you're taking the time to be with us. Hey, every episode of the show is archived on Aftermarket Weekly. Actually, it's on RemarkableResults.biz on the Aftermarket Weekly page. You can watch all the shows and listen to every podcast. Hey, guys, would you like to find out what your trivia is? Our great wise wisdom piece of trivia for the week is? Are you ready? By the way, this is my lunch. Let's see what it looks like here. We usually come up with some really good ones. Here it is. Constant grinding can turn an iron rod into a needle.
Yeah, that's my personality.
Constant grinding can turn an iron rod into a needle. Okay, Judy, no doubt, getting back to basics, that was just perfectly picked for that. Today, Eric Henley came on and he shared how he works 4 days a week. Shops open five. A great guy and a great story and a lot more stuff just besides the work week. And Kevin Eckler was with us last Friday. I'm telling you, you got to listen to this one. You owe yourself a listen to this very personal story from Kevin Eckler. I don't want to give away the punchline, but this is a very, very from the heart interview with Kevin, a really great fan of the show. And we released the podcast last Thursday. Have you started your apprentice program? I am so big on apprenticing. You've got to listen to this. If you're close to what being having an apprentice program, I would hope that this is going to push you over the line. Kenny, are you ready? Well, Kenny Weto, and we're going to see a shop tour out in Erie, Colorado. Kenny, can't wait, my friend. We'll remind everyone that Judy drives by Kenny's place every day to and from work.
And a little history on your building. It was the tire store before that. And the manager that worked there, I actually worked and helped train him.
Great American Tire.
Yep. And then he went to start his own business. So that was kind of exciting. And they didn't last very long there. And we've been driving by it for 15 years, obviously, empty, going, woohoo, somebody finally did something. And to find out it was a neighbor was awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So this is kind of going from the shop into our front area here. This is our front lobby. So we have four customer service stations.
Very nice. Did you recently add the floor then, Kenny?
Yeah, it's all brand new. All the background there. And then here's our customer lounge. We have a huge window for the customers to see into the shop.
I love that. There's been a lot of talk about that lately.
Here's where our parts come in. So we have all of our parts shelves here for deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do is when we dispatch our work out or order parts, we put the PO number and then we put a color. And the color, each technician has their own color.
Okay.
So the parts get delivered to the color shelf. So it keeps it all organized. Over in this room here, this used to be a manager's office, the old one. But now it's our inventory room, oils and things of that nature. This has now become our manager's office, which is where their old inventory room was.
Very nice. Very updated, very clean, very organized.
So currently in the shop, we have 6 two-post lifts. We have room for 2 more in the back. In the very back there used to be a big tire cage. We removed all of that. And so we have future expansion. There was 2, I don't know if you guys can see on the camera, but there was 2 lube bays here and here. You can kind of see the outline there.
Oh, yeah.
And so we actually filled those in and put lifts above them. And we had to have an engineer come out and do drawings. And down in the basement, there's a bunch of supports and footers and all that kind of stuff down there for that supports.
And what do you use the basement for then now?
Yeah, it's just become storage. We still have the lube pets here. You can kind of see a little there. So we still have two more. Eventually, we'll maybe go into the quick lube business. But for right now, it's just storage. So
got it. Are you doing all makes and models?
We are. Try to stay away from the heavy duty truck stuff. But for the most part, yeah.
Kenny, did you involve your people in redesigning the place and putting in equipment?
I did. I had multiple meetings. And for a month and a half, it took us to refurbish this whole building. I worked on site every day with my manager, and me and him kind of did the layout and everything else. So it was a lot of work.
I have to tell you, a month and a half, Judy, sounds like 24 hours a day.
Yes. And that building was vacant for 15 years.
Wow.
So he had the basics there with the doors, but what he did on the inside is great. I'm absolutely great.
Yeah. It was a lot of work to get everything done. Stuff like the sign out front, street sign, you know, hadn't lit in 15 years. And so the night that came on the first time after electricians got done with it was pretty amazing. You know, and yesterday we just got our oil system working. So, you know, the oil we pumped out of the lines was 15 years old. It's just crazy stuff like that. So
they literally just shut the doors and left all kinds of stuff in there. It was crazy.
And up here we have, this is our employee lounge. So we even redid that as well. So we have weekly meetings up here every Monday morning. You know, we go over some stuff here on our whiteboard, talk about things that technicians need and whatnot.
And this is your second store?
This is. My other store is about 8 miles south of here.
Okay.
And we just made 8 years in business.
8 years in business, your second store. Were all the garage doors having to be replaced, or were they all in good shape?
They were all in mostly good shape. We still need to do the seals around the doors, but the doors were all in good shape, but we did the floors.
What'd you put on the floors?
We did like a two-part epoxy, which I did my other shop as well. Hand mixed it. We ground all the floors and we cleaned them really well. We did the floors in kind of two stages and it comes out pretty good. It makes a huge difference versus what was here. So.
And then Kenny, I see that you have lots of cars in there, which is great. When did you open? You opened what? 2-3 weeks ago? The beginning of the month?
March 1st we opened. My first month's goal were about 50,000 in sales and I think we're tracking to do 60 or 65, which for first month out I think is pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
Man, the sky's the limit then.
That's correct. So we've got everything over here in our equipment storage. We've got stuff taped off on the floor.
Ah, so smart. You're practicing lean. Everything has a place.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Yep, that's exactly what it is. And every night when the guys go home, we do a shop walk around and make sure everything's put away. And we have a 5S board and all that stuff too as well.
Oh, fabulous. We can't do enough about lean and efficiencies like that. And I'll bet you the team realizes there may be a lot of pushback, but at the end of the day, you know exactly where every piece of equipment is should be.
And I don't know if you've ever heard about a Q-dip board, Carm.
No, I haven't.
Something that my manager has brought to the table. So we have front of the house, back of the house, and we have certain metrics we track. And then we put, you know, if we have a customer complaint or something like that, daily car count and certain goals like that. So we track the stuff every day, red or green, whether we passed or failed.
Nice.
We see comebacks and all that stuff. So, and then here's our 5S board. So if we leave an oil drain bucket out one night, this will be red and stuff like that. So.
Wow. This is the modern shop. This is the embracement that owners have to take if you want to earn every dollar that you could possibly earn and satisfy the customer at the highest level.
This is outside. So right across from us is a Dairy Queen that Judy goes to often in the supermarket.
Yeah. That's my safe. That's my Safeway.
That's right.
It is awesome. We've been watching every step as he's been kind of going through it. And he's on a major road. 287 is awesome. And there's all kinds of building that's going around it. So good job.
Excellent job on the signage.
37,000 cars a day drive past us, which I don't know how accurate that is or not, but
always nice to hear a number like that. Even if it's slightly off, it's a lot of cars.
That's correct.
Well, beautiful, beautiful job, Kenny. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the tour. And I guess we all could aspire to find a empty building like this, Judy, and do what Kenny did to grow your company. And we got some great people hanging out with us on social. Doug Olson, Mike Della Cruz. Hey, Mike. Mike says, hi, Judy. Let's put a bow on it for today. Let's go back to our trivia question. What do Bentley, Bugatti, Lamborghini, Audi, Ducati, and Porsche have in common? Well, I think you all probably know this answer. They're all owned by VW. In 2020, by the way, Volkswagen recorded an international sales figure over 9.3 million vehicles. However, guess who beat them? Toyota. Toyota's global sales stood at 9.5 versus VW's 9.3 million units, making Toyota number one and VW number two. And it's amazing when people stop and realize the size VW really is and all the brands that they own. What are we doing next week, everyone? Carolyn Coquelette, Luscious Garage, San Francisco, California, CEO of Shopware, and Max McDonald from Chehalis, Washington is going to be with us, and we're going to get his shop tour. Thanks to Judy Haglin from Haglin Automotive, Boulder, Colorado, who's out in Michigan today. Thanks for being here. And Judy's going to be with us tomorrow on a live Carmcast. And Kenny Weddow, Fine-Tuned Auto in Erie, Colorado. Thanks for that wonderful tour. Good to see you all. Thank you so much. And have a really, really good rest of the day, everyone.